Let's begin ACLU New Jersey versus County Prosecutors Association of New Jersey. If counsel could please step forward. We please have appearances of counsel.
Good morning, Karen Thompson for the ACLU, New Jersey.
CJ Griffin of Pashman, Stein, and Fairhaven for Libertarians for Transparent Government and Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers of New Jersey.
Good morning, Your Honors. Chris Formicchione, Kingston Coventry LLC, on behalf of the County Prosecutors Association of New Jersey.
Good morning, Thomas Prowessels, Kimison Gross. I'm here for Amicus Curie, Municipal Clerks Association of New Jersey.
Good morning to all counsel. Welcome. We're going to take a break at around 12:30. I doubt we will complete the argument, but who knows? Ms. Thompson.
If I could have a few minutes for rebuttal. Okay. Good morning, and may it please the court. There is a single issue before the court today in this case, and that is whether the County Prosecutors Association of New Jersey is in fact a public agency that is subject to the Open Public Records Act. We believe that it is, and we're asking the court to reverse the findings, the decisions of the lower court, to reaffirm and clarify the meaning of public agency pursuant to this court's prior precedent, and to direct the County Prosecutors Association of New Jersey to respond to our 2019 open request. I will first take the issue of whether or not CPANJ is in fact a public agency, and then address why we believe that the appellate division erred in their finding that it was not. But first and foremost, I think it's important to acknowledge the role that CPANJ does play in the criminal justice system in New Jersey. It is vital, and we appreciate the experience and knowledge that CPANJ brings to the process. And we know that they have provided very important support to this court, to the Office of the Attorney General. The why of CPANJ is not the problem here. It is the way of CPANJ and the way that they do their business, which is that they use public resources to be who they are. And with public resources comes public scrutiny. And we are asking this court to treat CPANJ as the public agency it is. When you look at CPANJ's structure, formation, and function, there is no question that it is a public agency. It was completely created by state-appointed county prosecutors. And I quote a May 2020 letter to the Supreme Court Working Group regarding virtual grand juries. CPANJ is, quote, an organization representing the interests of the 21 county prosecutors and their offices. They are also controlled completely by appointed state officials, the county prosecutors and their offices. We know that even if you look at their letterhead, every single individual from the president to the secretary is a county prosecutor. All the volunteers belong to the county prosecutor's offices. There's no outside between what the county prosecutors do, who they're controlled by, and the county prosecutor's offices and the county prosecutors themselves. But most importantly, and it's telling that both the trial division and the appellate division leapfrogged over this issue, is that the county prosecutors are completely dependent on the resources of the state to do their business and to do their work. They have sent assistant prosecutors to make the arguments in this case at oral arguments during business hours. They have sent assistant prosecutors to write the briefing in this case. All of the communications in this case have been done with government emails. They have said themselves they do not have a physical office from which they operate. So we can infer that the work that they are doing is being done on state laptops, using state Xerox machines. All of the resources that they need, again, to do their business are coming from the state. Dues for the County Prosecutors Association are paid for by the state. And Ms. Griffin is, I'm sure, going to address with a little bit more detail how some of this funding for CPANJ's existence is coming, again, through taxpayer funds, through government funds. And this is something that was laid out very clearly in Fair Share, where the pooling of financial contributions, personnel, and resources due for all but cannot be due for one, that is one of the very foundational factors in finding an entity to be a public agency.
Counsel, looking at the statute and the specific language in the statute, can you tell us which of the many clauses contained within the section for public agency you are relying upon?
Yes, I believe that the CPANG is an instrumentality created by a combination of political subdivisions.
You described the prosecutors earlier as appointed state officials quite correctly. How are they a combination of political subdivisions?
I think this is it's a little bit elastic in the sense that political subdivision is not defined in OPRA, and quite frankly, in the research for preparing for this, it's not really well defined anywhere. And so I think when we think about what a political subdivision is, using the language of City of Jersey v. Martin, it's an agency created for the exercise within the prescribed limits of the governmental functions and powers of the state. A political subdivision, as defined by Black's Law Dictionary, is a division of the state that exists primarily to discharge some function of local government.
So a political subdivision, a county is a political subdivision.
Yes.
And your argument is that the county creates, that the prosecutors are...
They're not created by the county, and I think
not created by the county.
Yes.
Okay, so why are they? And I know you're saying it's elastic, but we're talking about a statutory definition. Why isn't the CPANJ an instrumentality of an instrumentality analogous to the volunteer fire department in Vary versus Fire District, Franklin Fire District number one?
Right, because in Vary, you have a hat on a hat, right? So you have the municipality that is functioning as the political subdivision of the state. The Franklin Fire Division is then created by the municipality.
So we're that far in the Vary case, and so they're in OPRA. The fire district is an OPRA because it's an instrumentality created by a political subdivision.
Exactly.
And I would but when we get to the next level,
yes,
it's the instrumentality, which is the fire district, creates the volunteer fire department, and that puts it out of OPRA.
Right.
And I would respectfully suggest to you that in Vary, which is a case decided about 6 years ago, I was on that case. The court wasn't saying, let's look at it kind of in an elastic sort of way and say that everybody's kind of in the same mix. The court looked at it in a very technical way because this is what the legislature has told us to do. So what is the political subdivision that created CPANJ?
The political subdivision is that the Constitution created the...
I'm asking for the noun, not the origin. And you're a terrific advocate, and I understand why you're making these arguments. But what identify for us the political subdivision that created the CPANJ?
I think my argument is that CPANJ is the political subdivision, and I know that sounds. I'm not trying to dodge.
Sorry to be shaking my head, but I respectfully would suggest to you that the legislature does not view political subdivision to be anything out there that has an influence on politics. It is a technical term.
It is a technical term, but the term says that it is about the state's power being given to
Respectfully, there's much more to it. The state gives power to all kinds of people and entities and agencies and nonprofits. And it does all sorts of things to provide resources to all kinds of people and entities in our wonderful state.
Yes.
But they don't become political subdivisions because they've been given something by the state, respectfully.
Right. But
so what is the political subdivision here that we can recognize to be within this definition?
Well, I think that the political subdivision, CPANJ occupies that space because...
What is the enabling statute? For CPANJ. For CPANJ. The enabling statute there is for fire men's association.
Yes.
There is for League of Municipalities. What is the enabling statute that the legislature passed that essentially CPANJ operates under that makes it a political subdivision?
There is no statute, but that's not a requirement under OPRA. You do not need to have
I didn't say it was a requirement under OPRA. But you're referring to it as a political subdivision, getting back to what Justice Patterson said, and they don't just appear out of thin air. In the cases of the League, in the cases of the Firemen's Association, there are enabling statutes of the legislature that lead to them. And that's kind of how they're brought under that, that rubric. But of course, within certain fire districts, they're not political subdivisions. They're separate entities.
But
what is the enabling statute here? Because I don't think there's ever been an association like this that's ever been considered a political subdivision without some enabling statute.
But this is, I think this is the kind of fraught place that this argument in this case centers around, because CPANCH does not sit comfortably within that rubric. It doesn't.
So, and when you say it's fraught, what, why, in Vary, you know, the argument had two different results for two different entities because one of them fit within the description and one did not. And it's, respectfully, I don't think it's a fraught situation. Our job is not to decide whether there's good policy or whether there should be a broadening of the description. Our job is to figure out, is it in the description the legislature has provided? Would you agree with me that technically CPANJ is not a political subdivision?
I don't, because I do believe that the political subdivision question cannot be divorced from the existence of the county prosecutor's office and the county prosecutors. There is no daylight between what CPANJ is doing and what the county prosecutor's offices and the county prosecutors are. If there was some sort of different function, if there was a legislative imperative in the sense that the legislature said, please create this organization, that would be a different question. But there is literally, the overlap is complete between CPANJ and the offices.
I want to go back to the statutory language. You told us you were relying on instrumentality of a combination of political subdivisions. That means that CPANJ is the instrumentality,
yes,
of the political subdivisions. And the political subdivisions then are the county prosecutors. You've just been telling us that CPANJ is the political subdivision. If we stick to this, to the plain language of the statute.
Yes.
What is CPANJ?
That is not what I intended, because CPANJ is the instrumentality.
So then you have to explain how a state official is a political subdivision.
Because the state official here is a constitutional position that is appointed by the governor, and that is not just limited to the work and the existence of the counties. As I, as we discussed in our brief, there's not even a direct line between the work that the county prosecutors do in the offices and simply to the county position. They occupy this different space that is kind of between and betwixt the state and the county, right? So if you think about the crown in the UK, the crown is King Charles, but the crown is also much broader. The idea of the monarchy is broader than that. That's probably
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the crown. I'm a big fan of a crown, but I would respectfully say that's not the best fit here. but we're talking about a county political subdivision has a technical. It's not officials, it's not constitutional officers, the legislature could have done all that, could have melded those and broadened those descriptions, or it could broaden OPRA. But do you agree with me that we have the issue before us is, and now I think what you're saying is it is an instrumentality of combination political subdivisions. Does your argument then fail if we don't find the county prosecutors are political subdivisions?
No, it doesn't, because there's still the question of what OPRA isn't intended to do.
Well, let me pause you there, because if your argument is, and I was confused when you said CPANJ is itself a political subdivision. That's not the case. That's not the argument, is it?
I think it's a part of the argument. I also think that CPANJ is a public agency, so I think there are other ways that get there that are not just limited to being a political.
You got to tell us what route you want us to take here.
Okay.
Is your argument that it is an instrumentality of a combination of political subdivisions, or is your argument that CPANJ, I don't know if they go by CPANJ, but if they do, they do. Okay, I'm being told they do.
Okay.
CPANJ, itself a political subdivision.
hear me out. Okay. I do believe that the reason why we have to look at this differently is because the precedent of this court and the onus of Oprah is to elevate that substance over the form. And so while I know that there is a definition, obviously, that is very specific as to this unit.
So in Vary, should we have said, yeah, it's not a subdivision of a subdivision. It may not be technically in it, but let's just call it that because it's important to get the information.
But Vary had three very separate entities that were involved. One, which was literally a separate creation, which created a separate creation.
Right.
We do not have that division here.
But when we found that the fire department was a subdivision of a subdivision, if under your theory, we should have said, well, look, the information it had was important. It should have been under OPRA. We got to go with form over substance. I respectfully suggest Vary as the opposite of a decision that's based on sort of nebulous concepts of purpose here. It's a technical issue. And I think that it's fair to say that all of this court's decisions on the political subdivision issue have been technical. Is it in or is it out of the category that the legislature has chosen? You can argue with the legislature about whether it's too narrow, but that's what our goal is here.
That is also a little tricky when we're talking about, we're also told that the legislative imperative isn't necessarily applicable to what the entity is, right?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
In the sense that you, in both Fair Share and in Ronco, it's a plus factor in that sense. If the legislature created an entity or said you have to create this entity, that's not something that defines whether or not it fits squarely within that.
Are you saying that our determination on whether it fits into the language that you've cited here as part of the statute is just a plus factor? If it's not technically in that language, are we supposed to say, is there some sort of balancing test or is it out of OPRA?
Well, I just think we have to look at this is a fact-specific inquiry. A fact-specific inquiry that has to advance the purpose of OPRA, which is always to create more knowledge, to create more access.
So under your reading of OPRA, are the Chiefs of Police Association, the Wardens Association, the Sheriff's Association all subject to the statute?
They're not, because they don't have this complete overlap of identity, right? They have different functions. They're not being, their funding is not coming all from the state. They're not just using state resources to do their work. That is just not the case here. And that's the fact-specific situation that I think we have to operate from when we're talking about CPANs, when we're talking about how it is in this different space when it comes to being a political subdivision. But I also want to say that it's not just limited to the political subdivision question, because CPENG is also a public agency, and that's specifically, very specifically defined under OPRA. It defines a law enforcement agency as a public agency or part determined by the Attorney General to have law enforcement responsibilities. And the first sentence of the county prosecutor's manual is that the county prosecutor is the chief law enforcement officer in his jurisdiction.
What does that have to do with CPANG?
I'm sorry?
What does that have to do with CPANG? It has no law enforcement functions. All the functions of CPANG are not functions of county prosecutor's offices.
But they 100% are. That's all that CPANG does.
Function of a county prosecutor's office and investigating and prosecuting crimes is akin to what CPANG does?
Well, as the appellate division said, CPANG furthers the state's objectives.
I know what they said. I'm asking you.
Well, it's asserting and forwarding the criminal justice process in the state of New Jersey.
Prosecutors are constitutional offices. They have very specific responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Those responsibilities are not in any way the responsibilities of CPANG. Prosecutors don't do any of the things that CPANG does, regardless that they're the members. What is the relationship? One investigates and prosecutes cases and performs the administrative functions related to that. CPANG does none of that.
But CPANG argues before this court to advance.
CPANG doesn't investigate or prosecute anything. They argue as amicus. So do you.
Yes, but I'm not using government funds to do it.
Oh, well. Okay.
It's,
so is it government funding that's the key? Not political subdivision.
Absolutely. Because if you're using government funds, if your entire process is being is using government staff, if it's using government funds to do the work, then how is that a private agency? How is that not functioning to forward what CPENJ's goals are, which are laudable, as I said
the
earlier.
The issue is not public subdivisions, easy for you to say, but it's public funding.
That is one of the major issues, because there's no division.
I want to draw you back to the language. You gave us, you said there's another part of public agency that you're relying upon. Tell us specifically what language in the statute you're focused on.
For the public agency question?
Please.
That is the definition of... Of political subdivision?
No. You said there's yet another definition, and you began in response to Justice Patterson's question moments ago. What were you relying upon for that?
I was speaking to the political subdivision question in City of New Jersey versus Martin.
I think it was a definition of law enforcement agency, perhaps, and you said a law enforcement agency is specifically defined as a public agency, and here's how.
Yes, in Oprah, it's defined as a public agency and that is determined by the Attorney General to have law enforcement responsibilities.
And where is that? Where does the Attorney General say that CPENJ may prosecute a crime, may investigate a crime?
Well, that's their, they self-define as doing that work, that is the work of a law enforcement agency. And so that's part of their... Again, that's part of their.
They say, I don't think they represent that they prosecute anybody or they investigate crimes.
Are you talking about
CPENJ?
No, they don't. But again, I think we cannot just avoid the fact of this complete sameness of identity between the two organizations. It's shorthand. I think CPENJ functions as shorthand for the 21 county prosecutors. So if the Attorney General wants to summon them, like the bat signal is of CPENJ. It's not of the individual county prosecutors.
So then could CPENJ be an instrumentality of the Attorney General rather than an instrumentality of the county prosecutors?
I don't believe so, because the Attorney General, who is not here also tellingly, is over and separate from the county prosecutor's offices, right? So the county prosecutors work in alignment with the Attorney General, and CPENJ is kind of the body that makes that seamless.
Correct. The way that you explain the facts in this case is rather than the Attorney General individually contacting the county prosecutor's offices, they contact them by calling them CPENJ.
Correct.
But it's the same thing as otherwise individually contacting all 21 county prosecutors.
That's correct. It's just a fast.
When they issue, please go ahead.
Can I take us back a step? I know there's been a lot of talk about public agency and what is a public agency or not, but I don't see in OPRA where the statute says this only applies to public agencies. I see a lot of places in OPRA where it says what government records are and how they have to be turned over. And a custodian shall properly comply with the respect to examine a government record. And what happens if you're denied a government record? And then I see the definition of government record, but it doesn't say that it is only the record created by a public agency. Instead, it says government record means any paper ... that has been made, maintained, or kept on file in the course of his or her or its official business by any officer of the state or any political subdivision thereof, or that has been received in the course of his or her official business by any such officer. And that's in 47:1A(1-1). So if there was some sort of holding that CPENJ was not a public agency, but that all of the CPENJ papers were still government records because they are all made, maintained, or kept on file in the course of the official business by any officer of the state or any political subdivision thereof, or received in the course of his or her official business by any such officer, what is the practical significance of that for your position?
I want to make sure I understand what you're asking. what is the practical significance of all documents, regardless of kind of their provenance? What does that hold for CPAN?
No, my question was more, since I don't see any place in OPRA where it says only government records maintained by a public agency shall be obtained. Instead, it has this whole definition of government record that talks about a state, any officer of the state or any public or any political subdivision thereof. Anything that such a person has or maintains is a government record. I think everyone agreed, presumably your adversary would agree, that county prosecutors are either officers of the state or officers of a public subdivision thereof. It seems to be there might be a disagreement as to which, but it has an or, so they're definitely one of those. And anyone who works in a county prosecutor's office is also either an officer of the state or an officer of a political subdivision thereof,
yes,
again, because of the word or. And so if they're making these papers or obtaining these papers in the course of their official duties because they don't have any ability to use state resources to engage in any private duties, they can't represent, for example, private clients while working as an assistant prosecutor, or the interests of a private organization while working as an assistant prosecutor. Why does it matter if CPAN itself is termed a public agency for the purposes of you getting the records under OPRA?
I don't know that it matters. I think that what we do know is that there are meeting notes that are taken and passed on to the Attorney General. So maybe
by county prosecutors or assistant prosecutors.
Yes, through
in the course of their official duties.
Yes.
Is the ACLU taking the position here? Because I'm looking at your brief, and is the ACLU taking the position here that OPRA applies to agencies that are not public agencies, entities that are not public agencies? Because that's new to me. And your brief is saying it's a public agency, and that's what's required to get it within OPRA, which is consistent. I happen to have Very here, what the court has held, I think on many occasions, certainly held in Very, that OPRA applies to public agencies.
Yes.
So we're not, are you?
I'm not disputing that at all. I absolutely believe OPRA belongs to public agencies. I think we are not agreeing that
it is a
public agency, but I do not, it's not any wider than that. 100% it's not wider than that.
I think you are saying that the lack of a statutory creation is not dispositive, and you point to fair share housing.
That's correct.
Except the league is a creature of statute. The statute enables it, authorizes it.
The
league of municipalities.
Yes, and the league, in the league, they said this is a factor that we must consider because it was authorized by the legislature. That goes even further to show that it is a public agency. But if that's not true in other circumstances, that does not mean that it's not a public agency.
Not in every circumstance, but when you're talking about this kind of an association, it is not in unto itself statutorily created entity.
But
it may be dispositive, isn't it?
Well, it would be if it existed, but because it's not the truth here, I don't think it's relevant. And again, what we're talking about, something so specific and so unique that I think we cannot look away from that. There is no other, the Clerks Association, for instance, they hired an outside lawyer to write their briefs here, right? So they're already distinguished from what's happening with the County Prosecutors Association.
Because they're not lawyers.
I'm sorry?
Because they're not lawyers.
Right, but they're not using municipal lawyers to write their briefs. They have hired a private agency to do so. And that
Is there any case making that distinction as to who's representing? If we were to inquire into who is this lawyer? How did you hire him? Who's paying them and all that? That's going into privileged areas.
But the point is not how people get the representation. The point is where the representation is coming from. And the fact that it is the government and it is the assistant prosecutors that are doing the work of CPAN. In any other context, that would be an ethical violation.
As you just noted, the work of the prosecutors in the state is law enforcement. To
yes.
prosecute and investigate matters of criminal violations,
yes.
as opposed to handling matters that involve civil litigation. I mean, aside from maybe civil forfeiture matters that might be connected to any criminal prosecution, not usually the case that assistant prosecutors are the attorneys of record on civil litigation matters.
That's absolutely correct. And as Justice Wiener after noted, there's actual statutes that say that assistant prosecutors cannot work on private matters such as this.
So for example, an assistant prosecutor could not, in their individual capacity, choose to represent their friend in a divorce matter, correct? Because in order to accept the position of an assistant prosecutor, they have to agree that they are only representing the government as a lawyer.
That's correct.
So then when they are representing CPANJ, isn't that their own acknowledgement that CPANJ is somehow a correct use of government resources?
Because it's a government agency, or it's an instrumentality. And so that's exactly the difference that is separating out the CPA.
It's an instrumentality of the prosecutors.
Yes, because...
So why, I'm sorry to be a broken record, but why aren't we back to the question whether prosecutors are political subdivisions or not? And I'm not suggesting whether it's good, bad, or indifferent that the legislature's chosen to pick out that term as at the core of the definition, but they have.
And I understand that. And I think we have to recognize that when we moved from the right to know law into OPRA, the legislature broadened that definition dramatically. They added this instrumentality language. They added the political subdivision language. They very specifically ensured that that definition was going to drag in the largest number of entities as possible. Because again,
I don't think it's the largest number of entities possible. The legislature could have, the legislature exempted the legislature. Correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so they're not out there looking for, let's put everything under the rubric of OPRA here. They were doing some selection, and we can find clues perhaps in the legislative history here and there, but having been on many, many OPRA cases,
yes.
This is the first one where somebody's argued, don't worry too much about these definitions because we're looking at the overall principles to be protected here.
But it's not to overlook and to say, poo-poo, it doesn't matter at all. But when we look at it within the specificity of the fact that everything about the County Prosecutors Association is entirely dependent on government resources, that
respectfully vary, which is in very everything about that volunteer fire squad, whatever they were, I'm using the wrong terminology, was dependent on the entity that had created it.
But the volunteers in the volunteer fire squad were not indivisible from the fire department itself. They were different people.
They were an instrumentality. The court found that they were an instrumentality of an instrumentality.
But we are talking
about
the same.
They were controlled by them, etc. You're saying there is no such thing as CPANJ that's separate from the individuals who are on its board?
No, because it would not exist if it weren't for the county officers and the county prosecutor.
Correct. It has no independent staff, correct?
No.
It has no office space.
It does not.
It exists only in terms of the county prosecutor's individual resources that they are choosing to put into it.
That's correct.
To take it back one more step, would your adversary agree that the county prosecutor's office would be subject to OPRA? Forget about CPANJ. There's no such thing as CPANJ. It doesn't even exist. Is a county prosecutor's office subject to OPRA?
And of course, with all of the many exemptions.
Where do they fit under the definition of a public agency?
The county prosecutors?
Correct.
I believe that they are a public agency because...
Agreed. How? Where do I find that in the statute?
Are the instrumentalities of a political subdivision?
The county prosecutor's offices, no. The county prosecutor's offices are a public agency.
Are they an office in the executive branch?
They are not, but they are also not just limited to the local county government. Right?
So that's... where could we find them in the definition? Because as Justice Patterson has pointed out, it's a very specific definition. So I understand that everyone concedes that county prosecutors should be subject to OPRA in theory because they're public agencies. We know they're not private agencies, so they kind of have to be a public agency. But where in the statutory definition of public agency, the chief suggested, could the county prosecutor be part of the executive branch of government if it's a constitutional officer that is nominated by the governor? Could it be part, and it exists to enforce the laws? can it be part of the executive branch of state government?
It's not officially named that way, right? We have.
What is it officially named? A county prosecutor's office? Is it officially named a county instrumentality? Not CPAN, the county prosecutor.
Part of the argument in the brief that I think is relevant to your question is that it depends on what their role is in the moment, right? So if they're doing administrative work, if it's a question of hiring, that's a local entity, like local unit. If they're doing the work of law enforcement, then it becomes the work of the state.
And then it would be part of the executive branch of state government under the first clause of the definition of public agency?
I think, yes. I think that that is a possible interpretation. I don't know that that's laid out anywhere in OPRA. I don't know that the legislature has named it such, but I do think that that is the space that they do occupy.
So following up on Justice Wainwright's earlier questions, county prosecutor gets a memo that CPENJ puts out on juvenile justice policy.
Yes.
Reviews it, gives it to the first assistant, gives it to a juvenile justice coordinator, and they keep it on file in the office as part of their official duties. Can you get that through OPRA by going directly to the county prosecutor's office?
It could be operable, but I believe that the county prosecutors could then exert a deliberative privilege or some other exception under OPRA. But we could ask for it, and I do believe they would be, they would have to respond to that because that is a document that falls squarely under OPRA
and they're
as a government record. Sorry.
And CPAN would be able to exert any similar
absolutely.
Privilege as well, correct?
Absolutely. If, as I believe that they are a public agency, they are instrumentality, they are subject to it, but they are also subject to all of the exemptions that go along with it.
So you could, for example, argue that it was advisory, consultative, or deliberative material.
That's correct.
But weren't you answering that in the affirmative because a county prosecutor is a public agency? It fits into the definition.
Yes.
Where in the definition? Did we come back to that? Did we ever find a spot in the definition where we can say this is how we know a county prosecutor is a public agency? Just looking at the statute.
For me, it lies within the definition of law enforcement agency. And I think that.
Where is that under 47.1A.1.1?
Sorry. I mean, it's specifically in the definition section of OPRA. Under any of the subparts.
But if we're talking about whether or not something's a public agency, and we're talking about how OPRA is a very technical statute, and it lays out the definition of public agency, then I understand everyone is assuming the county prosecutor is a public agency, but I'm saying where within the statute can we hook that or find that?
I have to find the exact citation. I'm going to, if you could give me a little, a moment to find it, but.
It doesn't have to be now.
Okay.
Let me lend you a hand on this. Is it, do you have any opposition to the appellate division's thought about it being part of the legislative branch based on the fact that there's an enabling statute which offers the powers to the county prosecutor?
I'm not sure what the question is that you're posing.
Do you agree with that, that it could fall into the legislative branch based on the fact that it's the legislative branch that affords the county prosecutor its powers?
Yes. I mean, I don't think it's limited to the legislative branch, might be the wrinkle there.
Prosecutors are part of the legislative branch? Stop there for a second.
Well, not squarely within it, but given some of their powers are defined and delimited by statutory requirements. Like we said earlier about the assistant prosecutors and what they can and cannot do, that's laid out through legislative.
What legislative? What legislative enactments are you talking about other than the criminal statutes of the state of New Jersey? What legislative enactments?
Well, I'm thinking specifically about NJSA 2A 185. 25.1BA. And that is, again, talking about the responsibilities and duties of the county prosecutors and the assistant county prosecutors.
But the legislature does that for cabinet officers, for a myriad of parts of government, and that they don't become part of the legislative branch because they have, the legislature has, in accordance with its constitutional role, enabled an executive agency to do something, does it?
No.
And plus, if they're in the legislative branch, aren't they out of OPRA?
Yes.
I'm not sure it's a great road to be going.
No, 100%. As you said before, I might have I was too eager to, I think, grab the rope that you threw me. Thank you very much. You're right. I think that is too much. It's overbroad.
And I'm not sure that Appellate Division found it to be part of the. I think the Appellate Division's point is that there is an enabling statute that provides the law enforcement powers to the prosecutors.
Yes. And I also think OPRA defines the law enforcement status as a public agency status.
But there's no doubt prosecutors are subject to OPRA. There's no doubt the AG is subject to OPRA. What is the statutory authority under which OPRA is created? Or is it simply a matter of the 20 prosecutors getting together and saying, let's have this association? Or maybe the AG is saying, I don't want to talk to all the 21 of you. Get together and form an association.
That's not how it happened.
I actually know how it happened.
But, that would be fine. I think that,
I don't know how it happened, so I'm interested.
And that might require more discovery. But I think that it's fine that CPNH exists. Again, the work that they do.
I didn't say it's not fine. I'm just saying, doesn't the way in which it is created have something to do with whether it is a public entity subject to OPRA, as was found in the Firemen's Association case, as was found in the League of Municipalities?
It has something to do with it, but if it uses the government resources to do it, that's the flaw. That's the problem that we're struggling with.
I don't know the answer to this, and maybe one of your adversaries does. Whether League of Municipalities uses its own funds or government funds, whether their fees or dues are paid by the municipality or the individual, I don't know. I mean, are any of these entities the Firemen's Association? To the extent that they're volunteer, not volunteer, how do they contribute? How are they funded? I don't know, and I don't know if that's ever discussed in anybody's brief.
I know that I believe Fair Share, one of the issues there was that the mayor was completely in control of the organization, and that's what we're seeing here. We also know that for
isn't the AG is completely in control of the associations?
Of
the association. Don't they meet in Trenton, in the Hughes Justice Complex? Doesn't the Attorney General or his representative appear at those meetings? And aren't a lot of the communications back and forth between the association and the Attorney General?
It is, but the county prosecutors are the ones who call the meetings between themselves to set their own meetings and their own structures.
Do they? Is that what happens?
That's what I know from what's available to us. There's part of the OPRA request was to find out a little bit more about that structure.
Has that request been made to the Attorney General's office?
I didn't hear you.
Has that request been made to the Attorney General's office?
An OPRA request to them? We did not OPRA the Attorney General's office.
Or the individual prosecutors? Or the individual prosecutors?
We did not OPRA individual prosecutors.
But you would agree that they are all subject to OPRA?
Yes.
Okay.
So then why do you care if CPAN is subject to OPRA rather than just getting all the documents from the individual county prosecutor's office? You said that they're the same. So just send the same letter to all 21 county prosecutor's offices and ask for the same thing.
Because I don't think that one that's being held out as a private entity should be using government resources to do its work.
So you're trying to say that CPAN shouldn't exist at all and you're opposed to its existence?
No.
Just said it's not a private entity, it's a public entity. So my question to you was, assuming we agreed with you, it's a public entity, it's the same as the county prosecutor's offices, why wouldn't you just OPRA the county prosecutor's office rather than going through all this litigation?
Because first of all, I don't think CPANG is a private entity. That's how it's being held out. That's why we're having this discussion. But as a public agency, they should not be using public resources.
Who's C-Branch that? Could exist the prosecutors? In a public agency, they should not be using public resources?
Sorry.
Let's say we agree with you that they're a public agency.
Yes.
They're not a private agency. They're right. Only using public funds. Their attorneys are not allowed to represent anyone else but the state of New Jersey.
Right.
So it's a public agency. My question still remains, why don't you just Oprah the individual offices to get everything you want rather than litigating this?
Because still the CPENCH is holding itself out to do this work of the county prosecutor's offices.
But isn't CPENCH created as a private nonprofit entity? It's not a public entity as an entity, as a separate entity from the prosecutor's office. It's a separate private nonprofit, is it not? I don't think there was any dispute about that.
It is, but everything about its form, every single thing about its form is indivisible from the county prosecutors. And that's
except what it is.
But what it is to extend the reach of the county prosecutors, again, as in the League of Municipalities,
which is created by statute or enabled by statute, a legislative statutory enactment.
Right, but which is not necessary to find something to be a public agency.
That's what you said. We haven't said that yet.
But holding itself out as a private agency that is not subject to OPRA.
It's not holding itself out. It is a private nonprofit. CPENCH.
But I
didn't think there was any dispute about that.
I think that's our entire dispute today. And I don't see how it can hold itself out as a private entity when it is not doing anything. It is using all the resources of the government to do its work.
Right, that's your argument. Beyond what you believe is the facade of we are a private nonprofit entity, when you look beyond the title and the form of the official form of the organization, the substance of what the organization does and the manner in which they do that work is all indicative of an entity that is public in every way, shape, or form. That's what we're arguing. I don't think anybody disputes that CPENCH is incorporated as a non-profit private entity. But the issue is whether that's actually what is going on.
Right. And I would say that it is not. It cannot hold itself out as a private agency because of the realities and the complexities of the facts of who controls it, how it was created, and the funds that it gets.
And to take it one step further, if a county prosecutor's office tried to incorporate itself as a private agency, but still did the exact same work of a county prosecutor's office using the same funds, using the same, public funding, same work, everything else exactly the same employees representing the state in court, would that matter? And would the county prosecutor's office all of a sudden no longer be a public agency because it has incorporated itself as a private nonprofit?
I mean, it's an extreme example, but that would make its work no longer the work of the people. It would no longer be representing the justice system if it made itself into a private entity for hire, right? I think maybe a better analogy to that point is what if the governor's cabinet decided to incorporate and create the governor's cabinet association?
Don't give anybody any idea.
And their mission was to create better relationships with the governor and the executive departments. And they used all of their staff to do that work. And they used all of the Xerox machines, the laptops, the phones, all of it. Would that be acceptable as a private entity?
Are they constitutional offices and they serve at will? They don't have a term? Is there any, okay, we're getting into hypotheticals that I got to tell you, they don't make any sense at all to me in light of the case that's before us. Maybe it's just me. I'm not as smart as these other guys. Maybe it's just me. Makes no sense.
Ms. Thompson, is there any other aspect you wanted to raise as part of your argument?
Just that there is a duty to keep, let me put it this way. This court has talked about the evils of the secluded process.
I'm sorry, evils of what?
A secluded process. And the point of OPRA is to combat that and to make sure that knowledge about the function of government remains within the hands of New Jerseyans.
Justice Wiener, after pointed this out, there's nothing private about anything that you're seeking to disclose from the association. It's all available from the AG's office and the prosecutor's office. So whatever it is, anything, the minutes, the discussions, the memos, all the prosecutors have them, and the AG has them.
But they've refused to give them to us.
They do?
But you didn't request them.
You asked?
No, sorry, not of the CPAN just refused to give us those meeting minutes, saying that they are private.
It's not as if they are not accessible to the public, not as if it's not exposed to the sunlight. They are. I'm sorry.
May I ask this way? Are there materials that county prosecutors would have that... Let me ask it differently. Does CPANCH have documents that you would see that are not in the hands of county prosecutors?
It is unclear, but one thing that we are interested in is whether or not there are policies that CPANCH sets for the rest of the county prosecutors that are distributed to them, or if there's meetings that are held to discuss those policies and to create those policies. And we recognize that that might, again, be under one of the exceptions.
But if they're under an exception for the county prosecutor, they would be under an exception for CPANCH if it were operable as well, no?
If they were public, but because they're holding themselves out as private.
Yes, not. Except if they fall within one of the delineated exceptions, you're not getting them. My question is, for those documents that don't fall under those exceptions, are there any that exist only within CPANCH and not within the county prosecutor's office?
Some of them might be financial questions that we don't have.
But isn't there a way to test that, to send out a 21 OPA request for the same documents that you were asking from CPANCH? I've learned a new word today.
I feel that you're asking us to do the work of the 21 offices, right? When CPANCH is actually holding those all of that information as the entity, right? So why shouldn't we be able to approach CPANCH and get that information from them rather than
we're not asking you to do it. We're wrestling with what it is that the legislature put in the statute.